KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have a partly to mostly cloudy sky, still 2 degrees above zero. We've been holding there for the past couple of hours. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with a chance of light snow and a high of only 8 above. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A reminder, there is still a wind chill advisory in effect for Carroll, Guthrie, and Dallas counties until 10 a.m. today for wind chills as low as 25 degrees below zero. The Adair County Board of Supervisors Wednesday heard a report from Ag Hub Midwest's Titan Immel with regard to the construction of a 120,000-gallon ammonia storage facility to their existing business located near the Menlo exit off Interstate 80. Immel said the state requires the Adair County Supervisors to approve of the project before the company can move forward with construction.
Basically, what they're requiring us to do is to get county approval for the placement of our facility. It has to be recorded in the minutes. And then I have to have copies of all of this basically to present to them saying that the construction was approved.
And also the state has guidelines for the clearance area, which includes a distance of at least 700 feet from a neighbor. In this case, the tanks will be 1,150 feet from the nearest usable yard.
They require us to be over 450 feet from the interstate. From the interstate to where the bullets will sit is about 900 feet. They do ask that we install a 12-volt shutoff system. So if we did have a tank leak, there's actually sensors that indicate a leak, so it'll shut off. So it actually shuts all the valves off on the bottom side of the tanks. So if there is any leak in, you know, any of the plumbing, it's going to sense that. Basically, product movement without a pump on.
The new shutoff system would replace an old cable system that's typically used for that purpose. The state has approved the footage request, and the Board of Supervisors approved the request unanimously as well. Immel said all of Ag Hub Midwest's employees will be trained on the new system. They also discussed COVID-19. Board member Jody Hoadley was recovering from the virus and said it is not good to have it. Hoadley said she was exposed to the virus January 16th at an event in Greenfield by someone who didn't know they had the virus.
It wasn't very long contact. They'd been somewhere not where that wore their mask, and we didn't know it because they were getting teased and stuff about wearing their mask and whatever. So that one time they didn't wear a mask. It was at the bowling alley in Greenfield where they were at, where nobody was wearing masks, and we weren't around them very long, and both of us ended up with it. So it doesn't take very long if somebody's got it and active for you, and we always wore our masks.
Hoadley wasn't the only one affected. The Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle called her Sunday night to report Hoadley's mother-in-law and several others at that facility have the virus.
They have a large outbreak over there. As of Sunday night, they had 10 residents who had tested positive for COVID, and they've had several employees.
As of Wednesday morning, the state coronavirus dashboard didn't show any cases at care centers in Adair County. Hoadley said that no one seems to know how or when COVID entered that facility. She said also none of the supervisors have been exposed to the virus by her since she stayed home after she began having symptoms and was retested. She said having the virus is not fun, and we need to be very, very careful, especially with these new strains coming in. On a related note, the offices at the Adair County Courthouse are still closed to the public to limit the spread of COVID-19. Employees will continue to work to perform essential county services during normal business hours of 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and may be reached by phone or email. A drop box is located in the west entrance of the courthouse for any payments or forms that may need to be dropped off. Contact the appropriate department for further questions regarding services. Well, LePage County Sheriff's Office Wednesday released information about a personal injury accident that took place Tuesday afternoon about 4 miles west of Clarinda. Authorities say the accident happened on Highway 2 near M Avenue when a car driven by 39-year-old Stacy Hale of rural Clarinda was rear-ended by a pickup driven by 30-year-old Dustin Thompson of Villisca. The crash happened as Hale was slowing and signaling to turn left or south onto M Avenue. Thompson told authorities he was distracted by one of the rear seat occupants in his vehicle and didn't see the Hale vehicle slowing prior to turning. Hale was almost stopped due to oncoming traffic eastbound on Highway 2 when the collision occurred. After the impact, the rear driver's side portion of Thompson's vehicle then went to the south and was struck by a 2017 Chrysler Pacifica driven by 74-year-old Judith K. Clark of Clarinda. Hale's vehicle traveled across the eastbound lane of Highway 2 and came to rest in the ditch southwest of the intersection. Thompson's vehicle came to rest on the north shoulder just west of the intersection. Clark's vehicle came to rest on the south shoulder just east of the intersection. Hale was transported to the Clarinda Regional Health Center for possible injuries by Clarinda Ambulance Service. None of the other persons involved claimed to have been injured. Thompson was issued a citation for following too closely. Damage to the vehicles amounted to $22,000 altogether. Clarinda Fire and Clarinda Ambulance assisted the sheriff's office at the accident scene. And Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer said no injuries were reported following an accident that took place last Saturday north of Clarinda. Palmer said Wednesday the accident involving a DOT snowplow and a pickup happened around 10:50 a.m. on Highway 71, just north of the intersection with 140th Street. An investigation determined 16-year-old Jared McNeese of Newmarket was driving a pickup northbound on Highway 71. The snowplow, driven by 73-year-old William Curtis York of rural Essex, was traveling northbound with its emergency lights activated while it was clearing snow from the roadway. McNeese said he failed to see the plow due to the blowing snow. York said that he, too, was unable to see McNeese due to the snow blowing from the snowplow itself. Weather conditions at the time of the accident were snow and blowing snow conditions. And the pickup sustained $10,000 damage. The Iowa DOT 2010 International Snowplow sustained $300 damage. There were no citations issued. And the State Transportation Commission has adopted some new driver's license rules to reflect changes recently made by the Iowa legislature. DOT Motor Vehicle Division Director Melissa Gillette says one of the changes involves the length of license for drivers who are age 72 or older.
To increase the driver's license expiration date for customers over the age of 72 by allowing an 8-year credential to be issued to an individual up to the age of 80, not to exceed age 80.
She said the license length will drop for those who are close to 80.
A driver's license with a 2-year expiration date will be issued beginning at age 78 and beyond.
Gillette said they also updated the rules to make it easier for younger drivers to upgrade their licenses.
To expand that online service to individuals who are subject to the graduated driver's license program. So those are teenagers upgrading from an intermediate to a full license, for example, to allow that transaction to happen online.
Young drivers were previously required to go to a driver's station to upgrade their license when they hit a birthday and their previous license was still valid. I'm Rick Henson, KJAN News.